My sermon today is Christ, Our Example. And I didn't have the heart to tell the person that called me wanting to know my text for reading was Matthew 1:1 to John 21:25. But that's the four Gospels, and that's the story of Christ's life. But Christ as our example can be found throughout the entire Bible, not just the Gospels, where Christ's talking himself. Example. Anybody know what an example is? According to Webster, it's a person or a way of behaving that is seen as a model that should be followed. Do you want to be an example? Like it or not, we are all examples. If you are a mother or a father, you are an example to your children. If you are a grandparent or an uncle or an aunt, you are still an example and have an influence. Albert Schweitzer said, "Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing." So there goes my theory on do as I say, not as I do. That is totally fraudulent. In Luke 5:1-11, it talks about Jesus giving personal invitations to follow him. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Now, isn't that total respect? Someone telling a fishing expert what to do that doesn't make any sense, and they know it is not going to work because fishing like that in the middle of the day doesn't work. Yet, Simon Peter says, "Because it is you, Jesus, I will do what you ask because I respect you." Well, what happens? Are you curious? Verse 6, "And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both their boats so full that they began to sink." That reminds me of another Bible text, doesn't it? Malachi 3:10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so many blessings that you will not have room enough for it." That's a promise. Moving on to verse 8. "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.'" He saw that Christ was the Redeemer. "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken." Verse 10, "And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him." Wow, what a story. Right after they got their richest, biggest catch, their big payday, Jesus asked them to be disciples. Are you ready to follow him? Do you know that you are promised the best of everything, the biggest rewards of your life if you follow Jesus? These fishermen had a life of blessing, a life of adventure, and being able to walk with Christ. They could have had a catch and made a haul that day, but they followed Christ. And they didn't even realize the magnitude of it all by accepting Christ's invitation and following Him completely. They didn't even understand it until Jesus died and was resurrected. Let's turn to Luke 5, verses 27 to 32, and read about another calling Jesus made. Verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi Matthew sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Verse 28, and Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Now reading between the lines, Matthew Levi's associate tax collector said, "Hot dog, thank you for leaving this great business for me and just walking away." Who do you think got the best deal of that one? Matthew the disciple, or the tax collector who took over for him? Are you prepared to walk away from your jobs to follow Jesus? Verse 29, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Right now, I want to stop and ask you the same question. Why would you want to eat and socialize with sinners? Don't you think, as Christians, that you are better than sinners? Well, let me clarify that right now. No. You are not better than sinners. We are all sinners, and Christ came for Christians and sinners alike. But I love the way Christ answered this question. Verse 31. Jesus answered them, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's come to call all of us. Each disciple has their own calling. Every one of you has your own calling. Are you willing to give up your biggest fishing strike or catch of all time? Are you willing to give up your successful tax collecting business to follow Him? He doesn't even ask us to do that. Just accept Jesus as our Savior and give up your evil ways and get ready to handle all the blessings that He wants to flood on you. Jesus is and should be our only example. We are often tempted to look at others for their example, but that will 100% of the time lead to failure. He has a book filled with His examples. Should we not read it and follow His examples? Today, whoever came to church gets the opportunity to follow Jesus' example that He asked us to do. Not just showed us what to do, but verbally said, "This is what you should do," and told us why we should do it. Because it reminds us of what Jesus did for you and me, and that is worth remembering. And I just didn't say that. The Bible says that. 1 Corinthians 11:24-26, starting in verse 24. And when Jesus had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Not only we, by following Jesus' example, we follow his direct commands, and what we do, we get. We get to remember Jesus and what he has done for us, and that remembrance confirms why we follow his example. So we are lucky today to be able to follow Jesus' example. Matthew 26, verse 19 says, so the disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared for the Passover. John 13, 1 through 9. It was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Verse 2, the evening meal was served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but you later will understand. Verse 8, no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. That was pride. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Do you want to have a part with Jesus? Then let us gladly wash each other's feet. Jesus, the Master, humbled himself to cleanse us. Let us follow his example and humbly and gladly wash each other's feet. At this point, we will dismiss for foot washing. Then we will come back and we will have the ordinance of humility, just like Jesus' example and request for us to do. And when we do this, let's think of Jesus and what he did, the Last Supper, him dying on the cross, him offering himself for our eternal salvation. And every time you get the opportunity to do this, take advantage of it, because remembering Jesus is worth it all. Let's bow our heads and then we'll split off. Dear God, thank you for being able to come today to church, for giving us examples of how we should do things and what we should do, but mostly giving us the example of your Father's love for us and giving us eternal life if we only choose it. And today we choose to follow your example. In thy holy name, amen. Couples will be down here. The ladies will be in. I was reading through last night about the importance of humility with foot washing and the Passover, and I came to this text in Luke 22, 7 through 13, and the light kind of clicked on, so I want to read it to you. Luke 22, verses 7 through 13. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." Did you realize that Jesus had sent them ahead to make arrangements for this Passover service? I didn't notice that until I read it. Verse 9, "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. Verse 10, Jesus answered, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there.'" They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. Did you see the point? Jesus told them in advance where to meet a certain person, what he was carrying, and where he would lead them. 5 minutes off of schedule, they would have missed the man carrying the jar and not been able to follow him to this house. This points out to me that Jesus is the only one I know that is 100% right all the time. He knows the future, and he has prepared a home for us with him. It is a promise, and you can count on him. Accept him as your Savior and accept his gift. What a privilege we have. I couldn't even begin to think to tell someone to go somewhere and find this man carrying a bottle of water and follow him and enter this house and do this and that. I mean, just like, what a wonderful Savior. Now we will have the deacons come forward and we'll pass out the bread and the wine.
"For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
I'm reading on in 1 Corinthians 11, 25-26. "Then Jesus, he took the cup of grape juice and blessed it, passed it to his disciples and said, 'This pure juice represents the fulfillment of God's covenant through my blood. When you drink it, remember what I have done for you.' So every time you get together to eat this bread and drink this juice, you are to recall the last days of my life until I come." I'm so glad you were able to come today and hope that this was a meaningful service to you, that you can always put Christ and what he's done for us throughout the week, but also throughout this whole new year, 2016. It says they sing a hymn and they were dismissed. So after the hymn, we will be dismissed.